cat scratch, a whiplash, a witch hunt in black. Sandpaper!
And here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm not.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, the world only needs one Addy.
That's true. And it's me.
Yeah, that's plenty. And really.
I know.
Kind of disgusting, actually.
There was only one Jesus.
So they say.
He cuts my lawn.
Oh. That's Jesus.
Right.
Right.
Yes, right. Tiny Lister.
Tiny Lister. Yes, that's right. Didn't he used to wrestle as Super Crazy?
I believe so. He was in a commercial for Coors Light Pints during the Impact tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Interesting. You know who else is in a commercial for Coors Light Pints?
Ice Tea?
No. Hornswoggle.
He's really?
Short. Yeah, see, he's short. He's a half pint. See what I did there? See what I did?
See what you did. And he's fat. He's got a beer gut.
He's got a beer gut. All right, enough of this. Let's open up talking about the SummerSlam that no one gave a damn. Yeah. And quickly, because we recorded a show on this.
Yes, we
watched this shitty show. We recorded it, and we watched No Holds Barred and did a live audio commentary. I get home, and just as I'm walking through the door, I get a text from Addy. Yeah, I don't think the mic worked. We don't have either show.
Yes. The mute button was our mortal enemy.
Yeah. All right, well, we're not going to go, I don't think, too far into depth in it, because now it's, you know, a few days out. But let's open up with quick thoughts on SummerSlam, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I watched some of it again.
I'm sorry.
I know. Well, it was the next day. It was like I was up early. I had to drop. The man they call B was also over. Had some great jokes. So we're gonna have to get him.
Man they call B had some fantastic stuff and some stuff I'm glad didn't end up on a podcast with my name.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. You don't like Jerry Sandusky, huh?
No, I don't like Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, okay.
But I have nothing against Pat Patterson.
This is true. All right. Wow. I know you don't like Jerry Sandusky because everybody hates competition. But
hearty fuck you.
The Jericho Ziggler below expectations. Thought that was going to kind of be the match of the night going in. Probably the match of the night was Miz and Rey Mysterio, in terms of the undercard at least, and. You know, Brock Lesnar and Triple H, you know, was the right finish. Sort of looking at it, I mean, Triple H's arm being broken in the Kimura, you know, because that mattered so much the first time.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I mean, that was my thought on it, is that, okay, well, Tino sold the first fucking time, so... gives a fuck if he does it again. He'll just no-sell it again, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he won't have to go to a boxing match this time.
Well, you don't know. You don't know.
Isn't Floyd Mayweather in jail? Or maybe I'm just presuming.
No, he was backstage, actually, at SummerSlam.
Oh, was he?
He was. With Fred Durst.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yes, Fred Durst.
Do you think Fred Durst gave him the finger?
It's possible. It's possible. You know who Fred Durst actually gives the finger to? Bucky McBeaverton.
Oh, I thought he gave the finger to and in fact, his entire fist to Kelly Kelly.
Well, yes.
Or maybe that was Rosa.
Rosa, yeah, gave the fist to.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't come out to her. He did. I thought it was interesting seeing she was out dancing with that Rudolph guy or whatever with there. I'm not sure. I thought that was strange to see her out there. I thought she would still be nursing her injuries from Andrew Jackson, but...
Jackson Andrews.
Yeah, same thing.
She didn't want to go out at first, but she went out as soon as she found out the song was a hit.
Oh.
So, So
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm insulted by that.
That's true. That's true. But, yeah. Where else do we want to go? I mean, that was me. How about you on SummerSlam?
I think you summed it up pretty good there. I did miss the Rey Mysterio match, so I missed the match of the night because I was out getting myself food.
Yeah.
Because you didn't make any for me?
No, I didn't. I made food for men.
Yeah.
Meat.
Yeah. So me and Daniel Bryan cannot eat at your place.
This is true.
And, and so I had to go out and get that in the middle of the show. And I kind of figured since I knew that Rey was going to win that I wouldn't be too worried about it. And then he didn't. Like I said, the thing that catches me off guard with SummerSlam is you charge people that much money. I gave it a 3 out of 10. I just don't think it was a good show. I think it epitomizes everything wrong with the WWE, that the titles don't mean an awful lot, that we see the same matchups constantly, that the finish – we saw a lot of clean finishes, and yet it didn't seem to matter. There's just a feeling that things don't matter. There's no – they're running in place, and just – to me, just a total lack of energy. Los Angeles is a great, great place for them to hobnob and have parties and look like celebrities to people, but not a good live crowd.
No. Now, is it weird that the only clean finish we didn't get involved a Mexican? No, I'm just asking.
No, it's not.
I thought Ray had
a clean finish. No, another thing is when you charge people that much money for your second or third biggest show of the year, depending, I think it's really weird to not have a single title change. I think that's a weird booking decision.
Well,
like I say, it's not so much the booking, though. It's just the product itself is just very bland, very blah right now.
Yeah. That's just to me is when you're talking about the same, you know, nothing really happening to me. It's just it's the same thing over and over. And I mean, we did have the one Antonio Cesaro winning the United States title in the pre-show from Santino, but I mean,
nobody saw it.
All that exactly right. And,
yeah.
And
in fact, I don't think a lot of people that watch Raw, if they don't watch SmackDown, they don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, it's true.
That's very true. I don't think they've done it. They don't have enough TV time to put a new star like him on Monday Night Raw.
Well, no,
they
exactly.
They need 4 hours.
They're running out of time.
That's
well,
the problem.
We can move off of SummerSlam and we can talk about a couple of those things. One, now a spot being opened up, presumably, because Tyler Rex is gone from the company.
A spot as a jobber?
Exactly. Well, we are. I mean, but.
Right after his and Curt Hawkins' brand new stripper gimmick?
Male stripper PG gimmick, yes. Well done, essentially. Timothy Well and Stephen Dunn is what they would be.
Yeah, exactly. Right after that, he leaves because apparently he wants to spend more time with his family.
Well, it said it pained him when he had to leave.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, that was Rosa.
Yeah.
But... So, that's Tyler Rex in a nutshell. Never really kind of did anything with the company.
Never did a damn thing with the company. Not someone who I see going to TNA.
No.
Feels like the last we'll see, really, of Tyler Rex. Maybe occasional spot show here and there. Maybe a short run in a Japan or ROH, but I doubt it. I think that's kind of just about it for him.
Yeah, I don't know where he lives. So, I mean, again, if you live kind of in that northeastern United States area, there are 75 independent promotions running every weekend. So, I mean, there is that possibility that, you know, he can get some, you know, quick work off based off of, you know, his, former WWE star right off the TV kind of thing.
And usually guys can go into the indies and actually make a pretty good buck quickly if they take a bunch of bookings, which he should do. He should take a whole bunch of bookings and not spend time with his family.
That's it, exactly. Well, again, he takes weekend bookings. I mean, how many shows run during the week? I don't know. There
That's
can't be
good
that
point,
many.
Yeah. So. But yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, it is what it is. Nobody's – don't let that – I mean – what was it that Ajami said about karma?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, who are you kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
never
exactly.
got to So
he yeah, he was there a long time, but we never got to know him.
No, we didn't get to know him exactly. So another short-term spot is Rey Mysterio, concussion at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do
How did
some,
it happen?
I'm trying to remember the spot. I think it had to do. I think it was I talked about the power bomb. It was the springboard power bomb.
I'm wondering was it just an accident or is it Miz's fault again?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't notice anything like when the spot happened. I didn't cringe or anything like I did with Brock and the pedigree.
That looked so deadly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think just an accident. I would think. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it's Rey Mysterio. So for every day that he's out, tack it on to the end of his contract.
Yeah.
So yeah. He'll be with the company forever.
Pretty much. Well, it's a concussion too. I mean, these things you never know how a guy like him. Sometimes the writing's on the wall.
He may be out another week yet because they have to do impact testing. And so if that involved him having to watch Impact tonight, he may be out for another week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got a concussion from watching Impact tonight. But yes. We'll get to that later. But Raw. What did basically? Let's talk about the most important thing here, the closing angle. That was the last. It was a 3-hour show, and that was the last 2 hours. So it's really what we need to talk about.
Yeah, and I mean, what I kind of wrote down again for Raw was this
3 hours
Raw
is too damn long.
Well, no, this was a Raw that if it was 2 hours, I would probably have enjoyed the show. I probably would have given it a thumbs up had it been a 2-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was 3 hours, again, just it's dragging and there's too much kind of just. You know, shit in the middle, and that's never. And like you said, at the end, I mean,
SummerSlam the first pay per view, and it's 3 hours, obviously. And was it the first pay per view since they've gone to a 3-hour show regularly?
Yes. Yeah.
Because, I'm sure that's part of the reason why it just felt like it had no momentum and nothing special about it.
Well, no, but I just, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, things that takeaways from the show. And I really don't have that many. I mean, like you said, there's the main angle there where Punk has to Punk has chosen John Cena as his number one contender on the caveat that
in John Cena's hometown where he will get booed despite everything leading up to it in the storyline.
Yes, Cena has to say that Punk is the best in the world. Is what it is. And, of course, Cena says, I can't say that. I have to think that I'm the best in the world. And da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Cena, very good. He's done a very good promo, I thought.
Though. I thought Cena's delivery was terrific. He was serious. I bought him in the role. Really good job. I thought CM Punk was terrific, honestly. I thought CM Punk delivered very, very well and finally had a whole turn, heel turn. And came across very unlikable. But the problem is, A, why would you ask – just the whole idea, I'm going to pick my opponent and you can get a title shot if you say I'm better than you.
Right.
Is kind of stupid. But even stupider was, hey, Jerry Lawler, you tell everybody that I'm the best in the world. And Lawler goes, I can't do that. And it's like, why not? He's been champion for 260 days. He's beaten everybody in his path.
Yeah, that made no sense to me. And again, it goes back to the fact that CM Punk has more credibility than Jerry Lawler. So, I mean, if you're going to side with it, I mean, I did like the tweet that Punk did after Raw that said, I did what I did for Andy Kaufman.
That's awesome. I missed that.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so fantastic.
To me, it's like, if I'm a viewer of this show, I'm watching, and I know Jerry Lawler gets the Jerry, Labor Day Telethon.
He's a legend.
Chant, but
so,
yeah. But I mean, if I'm watching this again, this kind of goes back, and this is where I put it back to again to how he's kind of likened to be Bret Hart to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Bret Hart, they kept saying whiner and this and that, but it's like, well, no, but he's right.
He was whining while he was saying it, but everything he said was right.
And Punk was right, and Lawler saying what he is clearly wrong. It's like, no, this is the world champion. Like, he's out there defending.
He's the world champion, and it's not like he won it on not like he cheated to win and defended it once. Like,
no, exactly. He's been the longest reigning champion. They keep talking about guys, you know, like Yokozunas and Cenas and Bret Harts and Hulk Hogan's and JBLs and all these people.
Yeah,
who's reigned.
Again, and he's beat Del Rio. He's beat Miz. He's beat Ziggler. He's beat Jericho. He's beat Cena and Show.
Daniel Bryan.
So there's just no. When he says, say it, Jerry. Jerry was like, I can't, you know, his, I can't do that. And it's just like, why? Nobody's sitting there saying Anderson Silva isn't the top 185 pounder in UFC.
No, exactly. And nobody is sitting there saying that John Jones is, but
they're just saying he's a douche.
That's true. And a wuss. But, maybe he can join Aces and Eights. But,
cutting your legs out. Anyway, we'll get there.
We will. But the thing with the Lawler, too, is that, like, he didn't even pause. He's, like, he didn't even think about it. He's just like, I can't say that.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Yeah. If right there he had cut a compelling promo for, yeah, I still see Sheamus beating everybody. I still see John Cena beating Lesnar and beating everybody. You got to prove it to me against everybody out there, and I still see guys who I want you to prove it against. If he had done something logically like that, cut some killer Jerry Lawler promo, giving me some reason for him saying this.
I'm not saying you're great. Or I'm not saying you're not great, but right? Exactly. I said it was this is the kind of promo that he could have cut on The Miz when they were having their feud.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Miz beat won the title by a fluke and then beat Morrison, and that was it for the whole up to that feud, right? So that would have been something. Yeah, sure, I could see that. But I mean, you're right. It's the exact opposite. Where name people that he hasn't beaten.
Exactly.
Is probably a shorter list.
It's pretty much Sheamus is the only guy out there who he hasn't beaten during his run.
Well, and Hunter. But
you're right. He lost 100 runs before, but I mean,
but that was before this reign started as well, right?
Yeah.
So. I mean, it's.
But again, I guess while we thought that I think that the logic behind Lawler is bad, it does again make, like you say, it does again give some reasoning and logic behind the heel turn. Of course, he hits Lawler and beats him up from behind and does that douche move. Lawler's being a prick to him.
Yeah, that's just it exactly. And again, it's all about, and is it a lot of like Bret Hart? It's all about respect.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you think about. SummerSlam 97 Heart and Soul, where they do that video when they used to have that kind of that voiceover guy as the montage guy for where he'd be like, in a world, you know, that kind of guy. And I just remember, respect. Here's a man that is just demanding what he feels is rightfully his, you know, and things like that. And that's exactly how Punk comes across. And again, I look at AJ again from both SummerSlam and her contributions on Raw.
Oh, she's awful.
Again, just a useless cunt that, you know, should get smacked. And, it's one of those things, she'll... And
you know what? Skipping to the ring is one thing, but when you say something in a backstage segment, and she had a lot of them, and then you skip away from people there in the back, it just looks stupid.
Yeah, and it's, I mean... Again, I mean, David Otunga coming in and just again, he says, you know, no, I'll say you're crazy. You know, that part I'm okay with. Say that again? You know, like that she kind of snaps when anybody says that she's crazy.
I'm okay with it character-wise. I'm not okay with it again. If this is, to quote Lance Storm, if this was real, that this person would be in charge of this show.
Well, Vince McMahon owns the company.
Yeah.
So that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he has hired some people over the years.
Yeah.
AJ Lee is probably not the worst.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's hired Mike Adamly.
Good point. Just
to talk on a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Eminently more qualified for his role, it appeared, than AJ prefers.
He hired Mason Andrews to be a wrestler, or Mason Ryan to be a wrestler.
Yeah, well, he's big.
Yeah,
he's big. Yeah.
All right.
Not as big as back to beating up two jobbers, Ryback.
Oh. Well, no, Ryback will get there, because we'll talk about some SmackDown spoilers here as well. But
yeah, we will.
Ryback, Jinder Mahal confrontation finally come to a head.
Yeah, and thank God. I see pay-per-view buys all over this.
Well, no, they had to blow this because the pay-per-view is Night of Champions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good point. That's also why they couldn't have Brodus Clay versus Damian Sandow on a pay-per-view, right?
Summerfest, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they had to do that. Again, I did enjoy that Sandow one. I was getting a little bit worried
because
he was taking all the offense, and I was like, are they fucking squashing Sandow here? But he won. So both guys look good in that, actually, I thought.
Yeah. No, that was fine. That was fine. Not a great match, but it was good for what it was. What do you think, though, because you mentioned David Otunga, what about Big Show's babyface turn?
I guess that is because they showed...
It absolutely is.
Well, no, but they also showed, and my favorite was the videos they had with all three members of the main event, Punk, Cena, and Big Show, that they showed on Raw from WWE.com. And on the bottom left-hand or right-hand side, it says, WWE.com exclusive. I'm like, you're fucking showing it on Raw.
Somebody needs to explain what the word exclusive means to them.
Yes, you will only see this interview on our website, but we'll show it to you right now in its entirety.
Yeah. I skipped through his match with Otunga. I didn't watch that. Fast forwarded on the PBR. The only thing I can say about it was I did see enough to see that he was playing to the crowd, especially for the knockout punch, and they were reacting to him. So I'm like, he's acting like a babyface, and he's taking on a heel. And then the promo, though, that was one of the most babyface-esque promos.
Yeah, after SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Because I was going to say I didn't remember one from Raw, but I was skipping that part too a lot. So.
Yeah. No, the babyface promo, post-punk SummerSlam promo, it's 2-on-1, nobody has worked harder than me, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I guess that's just if you want to do 1-on-1 show in Punk?
Maybe? On the house shows? Because I was trying to think of why you would do this, because, I mean, damn it.
Who's the baby face to fight?
But Show just turned heel, and it's just, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not new for Show. Show's turned almost as many times as Jake Roberts. I mean, it's just
more. And really? No, more. More.
Yeah, probably more. I mean, so whatever. I'm looking at October, November for WWE. You know, usually kind of a who gives a fuck couple of months.
Oh, I say it was the SummerSlam that no one gave a damn. And
well, no, but I mean, as you go in there naturally anyway with that Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, I don't know if they've got a Vengeance thing in there, if they drop that, and if they've got in the Survivor Series and such. So you can have those three with Punk and Big Show, and really, I mean, who gives a fuck, right?
You know, but the really weird thing is, despite all this that I'm kind of not really obviously too enthusiastic about Raw and about WWE, I'm intrigued by Punk versus Cena, even though I've seen it before. It's the idea of we saw Punk versus Cena have the best or second best match of the year pretty much last year.
Yeah.
In Punk's hometown.
Actually, that's true. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Now we get the rematch and throw out the SummerSlam one because I don't even remember the match that they had last year. So to me, this is the real build up the rematch in Cena's hometown. So the dynamics here are very interesting, and they can go someplace interesting with it, especially with the idea that this time Punk is a champion, whereas Cena was a champion last time. So, I mean, there is some potential, if they play it up right, to make this a very interesting. Like I say, it's the parallels. There's a lot of stuff that they – it almost seems like they had a plan, because it's kind of coming together in that way now.
So how do you feel about the way they will play it up?
Yeah, that's what worries me. But again, I mean, it was a too long of a segment, but and there was some bad logic behind some of the psychology of what they said, but the performances were very good. And I'm sure it'll be very, if it's a hot crowd, pro Cena or pro Punk, I'm sure they will have a 4-star match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's – so, I mean, and again, Night of Champions, all the matches will be title matches. I mean, again –
we pretty much know we're getting primetime players, Truth and Kingston versus the Primo three-way.
Well, and you can even throw in that involved in that melee on SmackDown, which we'll get to through spoilers, were the Usos. So we may have a
four-way. Oh, the Usos were in there, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
we might get a four-way there. I guess we won't have Miz versus Rey in a rematch.
Possibly. I mean, again, the impact testing going to be done on Monday again. So, I mean, like
the very controversial. I'm going to just say that the very controversial impact testing. Some people do not believe in the validity of what that is. So.
No, but they're going with it. So, I mean, if he passes it, I mean, Orton had to do that too, and when he got his last year, and I think that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Miz and Rey at the pay-per-view.
Okay. If it isn't, who is it that Miz defends against?
Kane? I don't know.
Okay.
Zack Ryder? I mean,
some of the other things, like we already, I guess is the Sandow and Brodus Clay, is that the blow-off to that feud? Because you say it's not going to happen in Night of Champions, which is weird. The same thing, Sin Cara and Cody Rhodes.
Right.
You know, there's another mid-card feud that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it get placed? I guess it doesn't get placed because of this pay per view concept.
I think you could still blow those off on TV, and I don't think that was the blow off, because I mean there was the tights, mm-hmm. pulling of the tights, you know. So and the heel is one, so and not kind of convincingly where it would make me think that we're moving on from this. That made me kind of feel that issue continues.
Okay.
Especially because you danced at the end and beat him down afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you.
But I mean, I don't think, and again, at this point, I don't think everything has to. I mean, with like I said, with all the TV time that they have, we'll talk a little bit about Saturday Morning Slam here coming up as well. They've got all this TV time, so some things are going to get blown off on television. And given that landscape and that, I don't have a problem with some of those things going off on TV.
So we'll get Santino also against in a rematch against Antonio Cesaro, I guess. I mean, that's pretty much all the titles. We'll get Caitlyn versus Layla.
Caitlyn and Layla, yeah, I could see that.
Be a three-way.
Christian and Cesaro.
That could be. I want to talk about before, because it looks like you're ready to move on, and there's a major issue we got to talk about here still. It has happened. Chris Jericho, you mentioned that his match with Ziggler was disappointing. Like you say, it was my second most anticipated match behind the Lesnar and Triple H one, which was fairly good psychology and very physical, but just too plodding. Mm-hmm. And Hunter was too I don't know that Hunter was willing to make Lesnar look good enough for much of that match. So to me, that was, like I say, final 3 minutes were terrific but not a 2.5-star match at best. Whereas they're talking on Raw about this is one of the best matches I've ever seen, and some people really liked it. It didn't really do it for me. But
I think the best – I think a couple things quick on that is that the there was the Cena match. So, I mean, you're going to be comparing it to the Cena match, and it just won't live up to it. And I also said to you at that one point, because I think this story bears repeating on a show that people will hear, is that we were talking about how, you know, Hunter's just not selling, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in the match, I'm like, Hunter's just not selling. And you're like, oh, yeah. And I said, he's not selling enough. And he's like, well, no, now he's getting beat up. And that was like at 8:28. And I said, talk to me again at 8:31.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Hunter made his comeback, I looked at the clock.
And I look over, too, and I'm like, fuck. Because it said 8:31. it's classic. It was awful. I was like, shit, he called it. I hate it when you're right because it happens so rarely, and I still hate it. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was not a terrific match. Like I say, some people seem to like it more, though. This is a pay-per-view that really, from what I saw online, I mean, it was all over the place. People either hated it, loved it, in between. It really was, no consensus. Like Jericho Ziggler, again, people thought that the match was very good. For me, the psychology was good, except for the idea that I think is, again, if you can even weaken Ziggler further, it probably did, but I guess it's fine. But people talk about the psychology was good. For me, the performances in ring were sloppy, and I thought they were off the whole match, not just at the beginning, like a lot of people think. So I didn't think it was that good a match. But what about their rematch and the fallout the next night with Jericho, Ziggler?
Well, I just say, on Raw there, I mean, they were backstage, and I don't know, Jericho had...
The tramp made this decision for no reason.
Well, they were talking about how both people wanted this match, and it's like...
The rematch,
Ziggler was the one that's like, I know I can beat you, da-da-da-da-da, and Jericho's like, whatever, I beat you already, and Jericho was...
Who I was, and I beat you.
Yeah.
Who I was.
And so, like, Michael Cole going, both men want this match. Well, it didn't really seem like Jericho gave a fuck.
Yeah.
He was too busy pretending that he was 23 in 2008.
Yeah.
Wearing his... Well, I don't know what the fuck his hair was.
I don't know, dude. He's looking really old. Good lord.
Yeah. You know, he is fucking... he's Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused is what he is. WWE Davis, I get older, they stay the same age.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's WWE's equivalent of Rob Van Dam pretty much at this point.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Yeah. The cunt made the match, career versus, or WWE contract versus Money in the Bank contract.
Yeah. I love that she can fire him from the WWE now, and Booker T apparently can't hire him on SmackDown. The rules have changed suddenly.
Have they? I didn't hear that.
No, I'm just saying, well, that's otherwise, what's the big deal? He would just go to SmackDown, right? If this was based on prior continuity.
Yes. Well, his contract has been terminated, though, right?
Yes.
So he's got a 90-day no-compete.
Oh, my. Good point.
Right? So, no, I mean, it's just whatever. And then again, that was the main event match on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So from a positioning perspective, that was good. I thought a couple things, like they did sort of tease a little bit of the dissension with Dolph and Vicky. You know how
they've been teasing for about 2 years.
Well, I mean, they did it, and I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe they're going to do something here, because it was clear that Dolph was winning, and Jericho's contract was obviously because of his Fozzy commitments that he was going. So, I mean, you knew how that was going to end up. It was just like, maybe that's something that they're going to do. But rather than turning Dolph Ziggler babyface, as people have been chanting Dolph and Let's Go Ziggler at some recent Raws and pay-per-view shows, They'll turn the Big Show face.
Yeah. Maybe they'll turn Vicky babyface and keep him heel. It wouldn't hashtag heel. Wouldn't surprise me. Because what you do is you get rich by giving people what they don't want.
Yeah. So, you know what you do? You turn Dolph face. And well, actually, you got to turn him and keep him heel. But his new manager would be Raquel Diaz.
What my point about all this was. I hated the post-match here on Raw.
Oh, of the Ziggler for 18 minutes going to all corners 17 times, and then Jericho finally, he whacked him with the – turned heel, basically.
Basically, he beat the shit out of Ziggler. He loses, supposed clean. Of course, like, as usual, he only sells the Well, he only sells the ribs when he doesn't have to do a move, and as soon as he has to do a move or anything, he completely forgets about those ribs. He seemed, man, what a lazy effort from Jericho, I felt. Then he loses sort of clean. He's on his way out the door. He beats the shit out of Ziggler, making Ziggler look bad. I don't know if this is supposed to build for a comeback match in a year or so, or Mania. I mean, but he just, and it wasn't like he just hit his finisher on him once and walked out. He really beat the, like, he piled it on as a, in a working sense, obviously, but he piled on the beating.
He made Ziggler look bad. He made him look sympathetic to the point where the crowd was booing the beatdown.
Yeah.
And he's
But I don't think that was the purpose, though.
No, it definitely wasn't the purpose.
They thought he would get the anti-authority Steve Austin prop here.
He was trying to do the hero leaving thing, fully leaving thing.
Yeah.
And that beatdown just killed it.
Yeah. No good. Just no good.
Should mention as well, after the quote-unquote arm-breaking via the Kimura at the end of SummerSlam, we didn't bring this up, that the sympathetic, speaking of sympathetic, wanting to build sympathy for you know, someone leaving or whatnot, or the, you know, after Brock Lesnar's music stops and Hunter stands up and he's expecting to get the hero applaud, the Chris Benoit applaud, then he gets you tapped out chance.
Yeah, he gets you tapped out chance, and not only that, it went on forever. He just figured if he stayed long enough, he would wait those out.
That people would figure it out.
Start to cheer him, and they never really did. In fact, some people cheered, a lot of people booed. And I think, again, I hated the fact that he was still taking the spotlight away from the actual winner of the match, but that's Hunter. But then again, I also hated the false finish in the Big Show restarting the match. I thought was horribly false finish in the match, too. Like I say, SummerSlam wasn't good, so I mean, what, you know. In the Big Show, Cena, Punk, the false finish, did not work.
As bad as Hunter's post-match was, in terms of, the crowd, no support there, really.
Yeah.
All it took was his way better little buddy to cut one promo.
I didn't like this promo, man.
But it worked on that crowd. That crowd was listening to every word that came out of Shawn Michaels' mouth.
It might have been the only segment on the show to me that felt longer than the final segment between Punk and
yeah, I will give you that. It was long. It could have been tighter, but again, 3 hours, right? This is that whole thing.
But yeah, HBK's promo on you know, there's a moment when you just basically know you don't have it anymore, and you have to admit it to yourself. Basically, you know, and
as a friend, I should have told Hunter he didn't have it, and I didn't, and that's my fault, and I'm sorry. And even Sean was trying to cry too, which was the funny thing, because he just couldn't get that out. He just, you know, he has to say that he lost his smile or something, but it was just something that.
Well, it's true though. You look at his last two matches, three matches. He lost to Lesnar. He lost to Undertaker in a close match, and he beat CM Punk. He doesn't have it anymore.
That's right, exactly. I mean, he's beating jobbers and losing to stars. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, so you could go to Waffle House and beat their cook, but
yeah, but who cares?
Could beat a star, you know, to end an era. But
yeah,
I mean, because those guys just aren't around anymore. No, but the one thing that kind of struck me is bad on that Shawn Michaels paper when he's talking about how honorable Hunter is, and I was just like, yeah, the guy that whacked you in the back with a sledgehammer after you beat him, the guy that you know puts his thumb on everybody, what an honorable fuck, you know.
I thought the same thing. Again, if he had said, I know Hunter had a period where he would have
had a checkered
past, there was a period where he would have done exactly what Brock did, and he wouldn't have been ashamed of it, but he grew. He became a man.
Actually,
he became
what you say is that he's had a checkered past, but even Triple H wouldn't have done what Brock Lesnar did.
Yeah.
Even Triple H is not that dastardly. Like, that's
exactly.
I know this guy ain't no saint, But that's not. But Sean's talking about, you know, he's a family man. And,
yeah, and there's never been. Exactly. It should be. He's no saint, and there's never been a point where he didn't give his best.
Basically, yeah, that's just that's it. Because that's the point, is that he went all out. The other part is that he was out there every night and da-da-da. And like you just said, he's had, what, like 3 matches in the last 2 years?
Yeah, probably 5 in the last 3.
If this had happened in 2006, okay, fine, right?
Yeah.
You know, but nah, it's just some of it felt. But
like I said, it was good delivery, too long.
Yeah.
Logic not working for me.
Yeah. So let's move on. The other thing is, I wrote this down. I told you after the post SummerSlam show of Mute that I wrote.
As bad as losing that SummerSlam show, that was a good show, really good show. What really pissed me off is that we watched No Holds Barred, the live audio commentary with the man they call B. It was seriously could have been the funniest thing we've ever put on tape, except we didn't.
Except we muted. Yeah, I know.
We are going to watch that movie again down the road when it'll be fresh and we have some more beers in us, and it'll be great again, though.
Yes.
So look forward to it at some point, folks.
Some point, yeah. Maybe we'll get drunk in a New Year's or something and watch it.
But, something like that, yeah.
I mean, who knows? But the only other thing that's coming out of coming out of Raw. This is why, I mean, I was saying on the show of Mute, I wrote, fuck anger management issues. And they had, because they did, Daniel Bryan, you still have anger management issues. You still have anger, well, fuck you with your stupid, and because he does, he just, I mean, he's not really doing that. You know what I mean? Like, he's telling the crowd, no, but I mean, he's not really.
It seems set up for a comedy skit with him and even him and Kane together.
Next week, they said AJ tweeted or touted or something that she has sent Daniel Bryan to anger management classes for next week. So there will be probably a series of vignettes.
I tell you, 2 days ago there, I got a new smartphone, nice one. So one of the first things I did was actually put tout on it. And that's just so I can record a picture of my balls for 15 seconds and send it to the WWE. Really? I figure if they're going to make me watch SummerSlam, I should make them watch something equally as disgusting.
So this smartphone has a pretty good zoom on it then, huh?
wide-angle lens.
The fact that you knew how to use it kind of defeats the purpose of it being a smartphone. But
all right. And fuck you, Addy. Let's move on.
Let's move on from your balls. I assume that Kane is going to be involved in the anger management vignettes.
Yeah, because he's the one who's actually showing actual anger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He comes right out of being world champ, working with Sheamus for the world title, working with Punk for the world title, delivering on everything. I'm not saying they're burying him, but I'm saying he's in the mid-card comedy character, and they don't know what to do with him. Now, he's probably good enough that there'll come a point where they'll decide to use him again, but he deserves better. That's all I'm saying.
He
deserves better than this.
He does, but I will say that he's at least upper mid-card.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, because he's Kane. I mean,
he did beat Kane clean.
And he's married to Kane, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's gone back to, like, you know, Brodus or you know, Christian even, right? I mean, it's just, you know.
But he does deserve better than this.
Yeah, no, that's, he does. And as I said, I don't think that it's being pushed down enough that he won't be able to come back.
Oh, no, I actually don't think so either. But
why?
So anyways, you, I think, what, you got some SmackDown spoilers we're ready to move on to here?
Oops. Yeah, we can do that. I just, I 3.1 was the rating for Raw.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, I think what they're going to be getting now, because 2.8 was the week before, and I think they'll be looking closer to those 2.8s, and I think the 3.1, again, they're going to start to get, with less and less people buying these pay-per-views, a little bit of the post-pay-per-view bump that they used to get.
But if you look at it, SummerSlam, second, third biggest show of the year, and your bump is like a 0.2.
Yeah, but again, that's historically the third biggest pay-per-view of the year. In reality, this was Extreme Rules was promoted better than this.
Yeah, that's true. I see, so, and it probably did more buys. I see them going back down to, like, what, 2.8, 2.7 next week?
Yeah, again, another 2.8, I think, would be out of the realm of possibility. And then they're going to go into Labor Day Monday.
But the first hour did well, which is interesting. That they, the first hour where they opened with Lesnar, who, by the way, on tout, quit again.
That's right. That's right. He did. He quit again.
Yeah.
He no longer wants to be in the Broctagon.
No, he doesn't. He does. He's accomplished everything. He came back to the WWE. He lost to Cena. He beat Triple H. So he lost to a current star. He beat the CEO and a semi-retired guy. He's accomplished everything he wanted to when he came back. And he's quit for the second time, storyline-wise, since he's been back.
Yeah, but he quit on tout, so nobody saw it.
Yeah, that's true. He quit on tout.
So, yeah, whatever. I mean, he'll be back, what, at Royal Rumble, probably?
Yeah, I guess.
So.
I hope it's not a rematch between him and Triple H, though. I mean, it really seems that way.
They were talking about that maybe at Survivor Series, even.
Yeah, God, I hope not. And again, because the biggest thing is, if Hunter gets his win back.
Yeah. Well, that has to be. Again, that looks to be the babyface, you know what I mean?
And that's bad. That's bad for. That's just bad.
I said the next thing that has to happen is Brock's got to. If Brock is going to have one match between him, one more match between him and Taker, right?
Yeah.
Because ultimately this seems like it's going to Taker at WrestleMania. He beat the heart and soul of the WWE. Can he beat the conscience of the WWE, right?
Yeah.
But to me, if he's going to have one more match, he's got to beat Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Like, I had said that for SummerSlam for him to beat Orton, right?
And then Orton, of course, got popped for steroids. But that said, but that I mean, it'd be something if there was just somebody who could beat Randy Orton clean, you know? Yeah. I mean, we'll never see it. But it would really mean something if Lesnar did.
That's right. No, I get it.
But nobody ever would beat him. Like, we won't see it on SmackDown or something.
We won't see it on the main event of a SmackDown show.
No. Let's get to those spoilers.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about in the Saturday Morning Slam match. Saturday Morning Slam, a 30-minute program.
Saturday Morning Slam Masters, by the way, one of my favorite 16-bit wrestling video games. God, I love that damn thing.
So I remember, you could wrestle in Calgary.
You could. In fact, in the best of, one of the music that I put in for a bumper music in the best of was from that game.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, this is a 30-minute show on CW Network during their kids' block. So it's Saturday morning, half-hour kids' show.
I thought it was all their best comedy from the week. I thought that's what they were doing. And one
couple,
match.
There's one match, maybe two matches. Josh Matthews and Santino do the commentary on this show. They're the hosts.
Okay.
So, I mean, Santino, sure, if you're going to do for the kids, that's fine, right?
Sure.
That makes sense. Brodus Clay beat Curt Hawkins for that anyway. So then I do like to
note
here that
he stripped him of his dignity.
He did. He raped him of his dignity.
No, well, he didn't wrestle Heath Slater. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Fucking money. But then they, on the live show, I have to say that I like this this little note here. It says, tribute to the troops video set to Nickelback. Don't our troops endure enough?
Yes, Nickelback. Because isn't the guy from that, the really ugly one, isn't he marrying Avril Lavigne now?
That's possible. You mean Avril Lavigne is marrying the guy from Nickelback? You said the really ugly one.
Yeah. Oh, what? I'd fuck Avril Lavigne.
I know.
Yeah. And I probably have to wait now that she's married that Chad Kroeger guy, or whatever his name is, from Nickelback. The singer. Huh? The really ugly
Leo,
one. The one where Leo, if you look up his name on the internet, a lot of the searches to return about how ugly he is.
Really?
It's kind of like you.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. See, now I don't have to do that later.
No, but you will.
I will. But SmackDown opens. Randy Orton comes to the ring. He basically says he's the number one contender, brings out Sheamus. Sheamus said that's cool. Booker comes out. Alberto comes out. And basically what it is that Booker says that it'll be Del Rio and Orton in the main event. Winner fights Sheamus at...
It's because AJ said she had no power over the world title picture, but she could book a show for Alberto on Raw, so she booked him against Orton, who won.
That's right. That's what it was. Yes. And then Ryback beat Jinder Mahal in a short match. So apparently, you know, there were some Goldberg chants, but Ryback over with the fans. I found that on Raw, too, that now they've got Feed Me More. They've got words to Ryback's music. He's got a bit of a better song now.
There was a beat of cheers when the match started, or at the very beginning when he was in the ring and he played to the crowd. But once the match started, it was completely dead. And again, that's he's beating two jobbers, and who gives a fuck, right?
Entrance and exit, though, they're into. It's just
the amount of exposure and TV time he's gotten compared to the feedback and reaction they get on TV, not very good yet. But no.
So that's right. No, but it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So then Layla beats Alicia Fox in a non-title match. So why they couldn't put the title up, I don't know. Very short match. Caitlin did commentary, come in the ring, gave her a handshake. Then Eve comes out and raises both their hands.
So. Yeah, which is where it could be a three-way.
No, I just think Eve might be the ref. That's how I saw that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then Dolph complained about having to do the thing, having the match against Jericho, but then he gloated that he sent him packing. Then Sheamus tried to provoke Dolph into cashing in the briefcase. So then Teddy signed a non-title match between the two.
Okay.
Then
Teddy was there in charge this week because Booker T wasn't there around. Is that?
No, Booker was there. Booker was at the beginning.
Okay.
Teddy's the assistant.
We have three people. So. We have Teddy, Booker, and Eve all have power over there?
No, not really. Eve doesn't really have any power. Eve just makes suggestions. Teddy has power, and Booker has ultimate power, basically.
Okay. Everything's old is new again.
Yes, exactly. Heath Slater beat Sin Cara in a match apparently they only had to do once.
That is surprising. This was not the same Sin Cara, though.
No, it wasn't. Cody Rhodes interfered, and Slater won, so that was that. Ziggler beat Sheamus in a non-title match by DQ. Well, no, sorry. Sheamus beat Ziggler in a non-title match by DQ because he used the briefcase as a weapon. Which I guess the psychology of this is he did that on purpose to try and knock Sheamus out because this was a non-title match and then he could cash in the briefcase.
Okay.
But he teased it, but then he didn't. So.
Yeah.
So then, oh fuck, Santino comes out for a promo, which actually this could be funny. Because
or it could suck. Santino hasn't been funny for a while.
No, he come out.
He is funny, but he hasn't been.
That's true. He had a heart-to-heart with the Cobra. Had an interview with the Cobra. Apparently, he quoted a lot of movies, including Rocky IV, which is why I think this might be good. And then Antonio come in and whatever, and then they have a brawl thing. So that's where you're right that it looks like maybe they'll go for a rematch at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, so. Then Kofi and Truth beat Primo and Epico in a non-title match. The primetime players did commentary. Then in the back, they asked the tag champs Matt Stryker asked the tag champs who they wanted to face, and then all of the tag teams cut in one by one, leading to a brawl. So that was they did. I don't know if Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel were in that. I'm presuming the Ascension wasn't because they were just in NXT only. So,
Maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll get a gauntlet instead here.
Well, that's, again, if they're going to go with five teams, you could do a gauntlet. I mean, if it's just the four, then you just do a four-way, right?
But,
let's see here. And then Booker. Oh, then after the break, Booker asked Teddy backstage who he thinks the number one contender to the tag title should be. Before Teddy could answer, Eve interjected with a book of wins and losses she compiled of each tag team.
When the fuck did those matter?
I know,
wins
right?
Wins and losses.
So apparently the Primo and Epico are getting the title shot because they beat everybody anyway.
Okay. But they lost to them. Anyways.
Yeah. But anyway, then Del Rio beat Orton clean with the cross arm breaker to become the number one contender. So.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
And then Del Rio provoked Sheamus into a brawl before laying him out with a high kick. Ziggler ran out and teased cashing the briefcase, only to be laid out by Randy Orton to end the taping. So I'm presuming next week there'll be a tag match, or even on Raw, a tag match with Orton and Sheamus against Ziggler and Del Rio, right? So
yeah. Well, you know what? That's good, because I'm looking forward to finally seeing those guys in the ring with each other.
God, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, it's just you wait and you wait and you wait.
they're struggling right now, man. They're struggling.
SmackDown. I want to talk about another show here very quickly because we're going to get to Impact as well.
Yeah.
Save the best for last, I guess.
We thought we would be, but then we watched this show.
I know. But the best show that I did see, actually, probably, was NXT.
Oh, yeah? How was it this week?
It was pretty good. I saw Sofia Cortez's last match as she lost to Tamina. And then Raquel Diaz then come down and attacked Tamina. And, she was just great again. She just has that character down. It's tremendous. Raquel Diaz is definitely a highlight. The other highlight that they did was next week they are going to crown the first ever NXT champion as the main event on NXT. It's Jinder Mahal against Seth Rollins.
Yep.
They did about at least two, could have been three. They did at least two videos, vignette kind of videos, video packages,
mm-hmm.
putting over the NXT title
mm-hmm.
as something. And this is, when I say put over, Santino Marella, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, all in this, talking about how Christian was in it as well, talking about how there are so many people that try to strive to be in the WWE. If you could be the NXT champion, you prove that you have made it in the to be able to say that you are a WWE guy, and that if you could dominate NXT, then it's only a matter of time before your name is going to be in lights and you're going to be seen on TV, on Raw.
So imagine if Jinder Mahal then could win that title and finally make it to the WWE.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. No, but I mean, it is put us over as, this is what...
It's good. They need more of that.
They do. And then the main segment, the main event, again, was an interview with Rollins and Jinder. So both of them were in the ring cutting a promo as to why this title... what this title means to them and how they're going to win. And it's just basically, it's almost like if they did a UFC countdown in a ring kind of thing, I need this, I do this, this is it, I'm going to win and I'm going to beat you next week. Like almost like a contract signing.
Yeah.
You know, type thing without the contract signing. So again, but that was the main event, and that's the main event of next week with Jim Ross, as they go off the show off the air, next week.
Was there a tournament to get to this point, or is it just that they've been the two most dominant guys?
The NXT Gold Rush Tournament, baby. Bull of the Woods. And he's the interim general manager of NXT, Dusty Rhodes. Why, I don't know. But he is.
Well, he might do a shitty job.
The other one was...
what if he decides to book his friends?
That's true. What's Cody doing? But the thing is... Cassius Ohno also had a match too. Also dominant. It looks like Cassius Ohno and Richie Steamboat look like they're going to have a match coming up too. They had some stuff. Of course, Cassius interviewed by Briley Pierce is his name. Briley Pierce. Dolph Ziggler's younger brother.
Legit?
Is the NXT announcer. That was that. The other one, and you will now have a favorite NXT wrestler as well. I mentioned his name earlier when you were talking about Ugly Nickelback. Leo Kruger.
Oh, yeah?
Leo Kruger is going to be your favorite NXT wrestler.
Why is that?
Because his new gimmick in NXT, he's from South Africa. That was his gimmick before, South Africa. But now, he's also from South Africa, he's a poacher. He kills animals for sport.
Well, I see him and Daniel Bryan as a natural feud.
That is going to be excellent.
Yes.
actually, I do like the Leo Kruger. I thought he's got a pretty good air about him, a good character.
The guy, from what I've seen of NXT, which isn't as much as you, but the guy I don't ever see being a WWE superstar just to me doesn't have it is Ricky Steamboat's son.
Yeah, you've said that. And, of course, he will get a shot because he is Ricky Steamboat's son.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything really in Bo Dallas, Bo Rotunda.
I see a little bit there. But here's the thing about him. I mean, I've seen him now a few times. I don't see an improvement.
No, that's from even when we saw him at...
Exactly. I think he shows good babyface fire and a good basic understanding, but I don't see any improvement coming from him, which is,
No, which is, you need that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of it. One guy we may be seeing in NXT shortly, a guy that seems...
Alex Shelley?
Close to being signed is Alex Shelley.
Yeah.
So, just... matter of time, I guess, is what they're saying with Alex Shelley. So,
I just don't see where what's he going to end up doing? Playing the role of when Tyson Kidd gets fired, playing the role of Evan Bourne for Tyson Kidd?
No, I know.
Is that his ultimate upside?
And they keep talking about this cruiserweight.
Yeah, they keep talking.
Cooled off for now, right? So this may just go the way of the managers and such, right? Yeah. When you go over and that was something.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he didn't grow up thinking, I want to wrestle for TNA. He grew up saying, I want to be a WWE superstar someday. So it fulfills a dream. It's a bucket list thing probably more than anything else and a little more money.
I was going to say, it's the best, his best paycheck. It still is the best paycheck.
Yeah, easily the best paycheck, actually. Not a little.
He can get some Japanese work, though, right? So he's a guy that has that available to him where it may not. I mean, we talk about – this is a lot like that early 90s sort of situation. We talk about, why Benoit didn't come to WWF in that time period, in that 94, 95, is because he couldn't make as much as he could doing, say, WCW or even some North American dates and Japan, right? So
that's true, but Japan right now is not the product isn't very hot over there. Combat sports in general are not hot over there.
And it's not a way. I think there is still money to be made there, but just not by as many guys.
Probably.
Yeah. But anyway, that's again Scorpio Sky, Mason Andrews in the TNA run that he had there. He was expected to have signed, just like Kenny King is signed with TNA. Mason Andrews hasn't signed yet because he was getting a tryout. Haven't heard how
that's
it went.
Crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. A tryout with WWE.
Yeah, on SummerSlam weekend. So, and Sanjay Dutt, again, not signed, taking independent dates now.
Well, perhaps that's due to that injury.
Well, I mean, it's possible, but I mean, he'd come back and
I think he'll end up back over in TNA again. I think we'll see.
I hope so.
Sooner rather than later.
Hopefully that Jigsaw does as well.
Yeah, I think Sanjay sooner rather than later.
We never saw Jack Evans back either, so I mean, who knows?
Who knows? I didn't think we were going to see him back, though. He seems like a bit of a flake. That's the difference.
Right. Yes, that's true. He does know Teddy Hart.
Yeah.
So, but Alberto Del Rio is
more than a bit of a flake.
Yes. Alberto Del Rio's younger brother is signed.
Yes. We talked about that last. Or did we not talk about that? Was that on the show we lost?
That was muted, yes. he's signed. He no real wrestling experience. He's just been trained in Florida, I guess, to wrestle.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, a family, not just Del Rio, but a larger family legacy there. So, and they love that. So,
yeah, that's,
so. And they're looking for Spanish stars. That's still a high priority for them.
It is. It's true. So, they're Spanish flies. They just keep, or their Spanish stars keep dropping like flies. Ray with a concussion, Rosa keeps falling down, they fire Sofia Cortez. I mean, it's been rough for them. So,
Yeah. Poor Rosa.
See. should we talk
she's just so clumsy.
I know.
No, she just tripped and fell.
Into the doorknob.
100 times.
Into the doorknob, exactly. Jeez. Those heels. But no, I think a little bit before we go to Impact, and so actually before we leave the realm of the World Wrestling Entertainment, we'll talk just a little bit about we didn't get to chat about Linda's Senate nomination.
Oof, my good,
really?
Sorry.
Feel that strongly about it, do you?
Pretty much. I am allergic to the idea of her being in the Senate. Luckily, she will not win.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, see, the New York Times, I think it was, had a poll that 90% was her opponent was going to win, 90 to 10.
Something like that, or maybe even higher, yeah.
It was just a recent poll that came out that had Linda winning ahead, actually, like 46-44 or something, or 56-44 there. But apparently, that poll has a history of A, leaning towards Republicans, and B, not being accurate at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's we'll wait and see, but it's something that brings it a little more. But that's Linda, and she's when did they do that? They do that in November, do they?
I think it's the same time as the presidential in November. Yeah, I believe so, right?
I think so. So we got a few months anyway.
They got a few months, and it's probably going to get nasty. I mean, certainly the presidential one is so.
That's nasty. Yeah. So no, that'll be good. That'll be fun. Also, in this election. Romeoville, Illinois, is definitely a place I'm gonna want to visit. And there are signs up now, and a man that's going that say Mongo for mayor. Steve Mongo McMichael running for mayor of Romeoville, Illinois.
I wish I could sneeze again.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. You'd say so.
If you sneeze, Mongo will miss a spot.
If you breathe, Mongo will miss a spot.
You know, that was going to be it. He's going to go.
The only guy in history, Bret Hart said, he thought he was too dangerous to work with.
Well, the thing was, yeah. And Davey worked with him, remember?
Yeah.
So,
Bret Hart lost his career from working with Bill Goldberg.
Yes. And Mongo was too dangerous.
Yeah. It tells you all you need to know about him as a wrestler. Awful.
Well, the thing is that what the anti-Mongo camp, the guy that's running against him, has a good point, because what he's saying is with Mongo as the mayor, that everything's just going to grind to a halt, that no bills are going to be turned into law, because you have to sign the mayor has to sign their name at a particular place, and Mongo would keep missing that spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hell of a football player, though.
Yeah.
Deborah was hot. Anyways, let's get to Aces and Eights.
Okay, well, let's...
What a bunch of pussies.
Yes, Aces and Wimps. I mean, let's go. Should we start this kind of... We'll go through kind of the show a little bit, I guess. I mean, I did like the beginning of the show when... I don't even know. Maybe it might have been that last little bit before the show, in that pre-show on the commercial part before, you know.
When they're riding into the country western music on motorcycles, like long riders come into town.
When they're riding into the Impact Zone. I like that. That's an entrance. I thought, okay, that's good. Aces and Eights are here, and this is an entrance.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, you know, I thought, okay, well, that's good. Contrast that, and I'll fast forward immediately to the end of the show.
Yeah.
They left the ring, I blinked, and they were on their motorcycles.
Yeah.
I was okay. That was a bit quick, I thought.
Yeah. Almost like it was pre-taped.
Almost. Well, of course, it was just like, you know, but it was obviously, you know what I mean? Like, That was a boot much, you know? So.
Yes, it a boot was.
Yes, no dude a booted. But anyway, then Sting and the Clan come out to call out the Aces and Eights.
Did they call them hose heads?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, come out, you hosers.
Hosers, take off, eh?
Eh.
But then massive We Want Hogan chant.
Yeah.
Massive We Want Hogan chant. A couple of times tonight.
Yeah. He never showed up in the actual ring, though.
It's true. That's true. But... Yeah, then they've got two Aces and Eight jobbers come out.
Guys who I think this is the storyline, they're not actually part of Aces and Eight. They were just put in there tonight for just the one night.
Well, yeah, and then I said we'll kind of get to that, but I think that the guys that beat up Austin Aries
were the real aces and eight, and everybody else that we saw just walking around the Impact Zone being beat up by the Impact roster tonight was actually not members of Aces Eight, or they were just a bunch of. Is that the thing?
It seems weird with Sting around, but I mean, I bring it to Batman. They're like the Joker's army, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Joker has those jobber guys in makeup that, you know, whatever, right? So, same idea.
Yeah, or the Crow, basically. Sure, same thing in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I don't think I saw the Crow. Or, no, I have seen the Crow. It's just been a long time. I'm trying to think of the Crow. But anyway, yeah.
I'm sure it had bad guys in an army of them. I can't remember.
Probably.
I remember it was good.
Yeah, yeah. You know who really liked it was Brad Lee.
Was who?
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 Brandon Lee.
Oh, did he like it?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
Movie was to die for, he said.
Ah, yeah.
But, no, it was good. One thing that I noticed was D-Von and Bully Ray were side by side. I just noticed the Dudley boys together there. So, in this brawl. But anyway, the two jobbers come out, of course, get beat up, and then they rip off his thing is knocked off rather easily. His handkerchief, and basically just laughed and said that he got patched in.
They say he got patched in. And said you're gonna have a long, long night, and he's nobody recognizable. So. You know.
Yeah, it was just, that was just it. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't really do anything for me.
Nope, me either. And much then, like this show in general.
Well, no, that's just it. So I'm just, I friggin' wrote something and I have no idea what I wrote here. But, oh, the pregnancy angle.
Yeah.
Olive oil. Was not there, but her attorney was.
Yes, Claire, was that also muted? How she's been fired or left or whatever? The actress playing Claire Lynch, who also played Olive Oil and was in infomercials, her real name got out and she didn't want people to know who she was because she's ashamed of being – she's not ashamed of being Olive Oil, but she is ashamed of being an actress on national TV.
Well, what she was ashamed of, she didn't want her name to get out, Julia Riley. And that
yes, that we did. Julia Riley didn't want anybody to know her name was Julia Riley. So what was it that Julia Riley did then?
Well, then Julia Riley was upset that Julia Riley was getting criticized for Julia Riley's performance as Claire Lynch.
And so Julia Riley decided that instead of having a better performance, that Julia Riley didn't want people to know who she was. Is that correct? And that's why Julia Riley decided to leave?
You know, Julia Riley was just upset that, Julia Riley really did a good job of keeping her name, Julia Riley, under wraps.
That's true. Nobody knows the name Julia Riley. Nobody's likely to know that her name is Julia Riley.
Well, but the thing was, is that, again, nobody did know that her name was Julia Riley and still is Julia Riley, but for a couple months. I mean, this is just coming out fairly recently that Julia Riley was Claire Lynch, right?
So, that's right. That's right. But, so, that's true. But you know what? And nobody now that she's off TV, people will forget that Julia Riley played Claire Lynch and that Julia Riley, that name isn't going to be pounded into people's head. So, a good thing.
But anyway, so what's her head wasn't there.
Yeah, Julia Riley?
Julia Riley, right, yes.
Yeah.
Julia Riley
wasn't
there.
Forgot already.
Who? Yeah. What's a Julia Riley?
Who's she up beat?
That's right. Well, so then Julia Riley's lawyer was out. Or Clark Lynch's lawyer was out, to say that she was never pregnant. It was all a plan to manipulate AJ and da-da-da-da-da. So yeah. that storyline is blown off now.
Yeah, it is. Yep, so, story Riley, Julia Riley's storyline. Claire Lynch.
Blown off, oh, yes. Yeah. So, but I mean, see, the thing with this is, and this kind of gets to be, this is part of, part of why this show wasn't, I mean, they had kind of no choice to do it, but I mean, now this story is done. They haven't had Joe Park on for a while.
Because Julia Riley decided to leave.
Well, Julia Riley left, so they had to blow this off. We haven't had Joe Park on in a while. I mean, they really did a bad job, I thought, tonight with Aces and Eights.
Yep.
And so, like, literally the NWO B team was out there, right?
Yeah.
And so...
and this isn't Thunder.
But no, exactly. So that really kind of got to... That's kind of the... Those are the three things that were going... And Austin Aries and such. And Aries didn't do anything, really, other than kind of stand out there. And he took... I mean, at the end, we'll talk about. But he didn't have a segment.
No.
There was no Bobby Roode.
No.
You know, there really wasn't anything... that had been making the show so good lately. There really wasn't anything on that tonight.
No, and the other thing is that their gut check has run its course. The gut check challenge, as good as that video was for the guy who was in the gut check challenge last week.
Chris Louie.
What's that?
Chris Louie is his name. They told us his name.
They told us his name this week, unlike the video last week. But it was a tremendous, awesome, awesome video, right? And then this week... He comes Chris out, Louis. he faces Gunner, he loses clean. Now, I imagine next week he'll come out there, one judge will say they liked him, one judge will say they didn't, and he'll cut a babyface promo about how much he wants to be there, and then they'll say yes or no, probably yes, and they'll come down to that third judge. I'm just guessing this is what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know for sure.
You know, that's what Julia Riley would do.
Yeah.
So, but... Yeah, but then again, the video really great, the match not so much, but you're right, that's just it. And, I mean, the other thing that I find that...
None of these guys have ever won now. So it's really, like, this whole thing, it's the exact same every fucking week. I really had enough of it.
I have, too. I will say, though, that, again, they at least did an Alex Silva vignette on the show.
That's true.
Talking about his experience, what he's going to do, how he's got to go to, and they showed him an Ohio Valley thing. He's going to, you know, to Ohio Valley to work and get his, you know, hone his skills. So when we do see him again, you know, he's going to just kick some ass and be ready to take on the world kind of thing. Right. So that was all right. That was decent.
Yeah.
I mean, so then we kind of move on to, I mean, we can go to the, well, do we have anything else on, I'm trying to think if there was anything else of they acknowledged Pope's injury, so they had
Tess three. Walker lost to Tara in babyface match, leading to a rematch for the title, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy beat Robbie T.
Yeah, that's right.
Robbie E. got 7 points for... winning in the three-way in a sneaky fashion, so he's not in last.
Mr. Anderson had his last match against Bully Ray. Even though he won it, he's still too far out to qualify in the Bound for Glory match.
For Mr. Anderson was the story, right?
Yeah.
One thing I will say about this gut check, too, is I find one thing that kind of... I was there. It does
Hulk Hogan used a chair on one of the members in the backstage. One of the members of Aces and Eight.
Oh God, yeah.
That's what he told. Yeah, he's like, don't. If you look at Brooke again, brother, something like that.
But the thing was, it was
almost as good as the acting in No Holds Barred.
Pretty much. Actually, it was that look. You know what is that smell? Right, duty. Like that was the look. That was the deal. Right.
Yeah.
He was him and doing that, and of course Wes Briscoe.
Oh, you mean the part
out.
where the guy pissed his pants in his ass?
Yes, pissed his ass.
Yeah.
But I think again, and Wes Briscoe was passed out during it, selling the attack, so didn't hear what Hogan had to say anyway. So, but that was to me again. There was Joker Sting standing there as the three members or whatever of Aces and Eights are walking backstage and. And he does Joker Sting, let's play 52 car pickup. And it was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's too much of that Sting.
ODP told Eric Young that he still wasn't there with his beer and the chicken.
Because
he's out doing his wildlife show for...
fishing.
Yeah, his animal fishing planet. Animal for Animal Planet. And so he told her to he was to come bring his pole and fishing her or something like that.
Yeah, her pawns are needing some fishing. Bring her pole over the. This was my favorite part of the show.
Some fishing her legs, I think, with his
pole.
Yeah,
he's fishing my legs because my.
And then she went off to sleep with somebody when she hung up.
Yeah, my legs need fishing after she hung up, and she looks over and she goes, "Hey."
I suspect ODP literally does smell like fish down there. I think.
What's your name? It doesn't matter. How old are you? That just made me laugh.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the show, actually.
That probably was the best line in the show, for the best part, yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
But
one half of your, along with Eric Young, of your Divas Knockout Tag Team Champions
knockout
or whatever.
Tag,
the Knockout Tag Team Champions. World Knockout Tag Team Champions of the World.
But one guy I wanted to knock out, we get to this final segment here with, you know, again, they go and they say in 3.5 minutes, all hell is going to be raised by aces and eights, and the dead man's hand will be dealt. And so, of course, they go to commercial, and then Sting, and then everybody comes out. Everybody comes out. Kurt Angle comes out serious face. Austin Aries comes out serious face. Anderson, you know, Robbie T even with a serious face. And Rob Van Dam comes out, fucking grinning from ear to ear, shaking people's hands like he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't the entrance into the, like, the WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal here, Rob.
Yeah.
You're about to go
I
into
I never thought
war,
about that, but that's a good point.
Dumbass. Well, because he, at first I didn't, I like, oh, Rob looks content to be there. And then he stopped and reached over to shake people's hands, and it just pointed it right out to me there.
Yeah.
And, like, and he had to stop, I think, turned back and shook people. I'm like, you are a
retard. Keep in mind, he may have forgot why he was actually there, because he may have been high.
That's true.
Not likely, but just in case.
It's medicinal. Brooke Hogan not on the show, because she's probably selling the injury because she fell.
Yeah, it's probably... That was awesome when she fell last week. Maybe she was just upset about what happened with the Claire Lynch actress. What was her name?
Julia Riley.
Oh, that's it.
Julie
I forgot.
Yeah, Julia Riley.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, but then again, they do, okay, so then they do this giant aces and eights brawl with everybody where all these aces and eight jobbers are out. And Wes Briscoe.
And Julia Riley?
No, Julia Riley was not okay. There. But I mean, Wes Briscoe seems to be just in all of these, and I thought, isn't he supposed to be a main guy? And then I see, because he clearly has
the hair,
right? Like, he's the guy that is distinguishable. Well, and then, but then the bigger guy come out, too, like, with the hat, the leader. And Austin Aries, like, takes him out immediately, does a dive on him and takes him out, not at, towards the end of this brawl. And the camera work was very good in that they're going back and forth, because it's like, Hogan, they're trying to get over the fact that everybody's brawling everywhere, right? And I'm not quite sure why, but, like, all I could think of is that this is a poor version of Rey Mysterio Lawn Dart.
Yeah, yeah. I see what you mean.
They laid out the people outside or whatever, and Jimmy Hart went and got all of the members of the in the six-man or eight-man tag main event of Nitro and said, no, they're getting people here or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you got to come and help. And it was Luger and Sting and, you know, Benoit and all these guys that are on the Giant. The people that are on, or I don't remember if the Giant was part of it. I think Giant was had just joined
NWO
at that point. But it was that kind of deal. Bring everybody. But that seemed to be like a perversion of this because you had James Storm and Hulk Hogan and AJ Styles fighting guys in one place and Anderson and fighting guy and Bubba fighting in another place and Sting brawls to the outside. It just
well, basically, and the thing is, two things about this. Bubba seems to be the guy that they're now pointing that he's the MacGuffin, the guy who appears to be maybe now behind this whole thing is kind of what they want you to think. So it probably isn't him. And Rude, who wasn't there, was beat up earlier by them. So I don't know where the hell they're going now. But back to, I think, Jared and Bischoff is seeming likely. That's one thing, is that that's the big thing that I think you're supposed to take out of all this. Is that Bully Ray is now the guy who's getting the fingers pointed at him. And why not? If he gets accused and people start to believe it, at least he's a heel. Unlike Storm.
Well, that's
right?
Just it. I think, and That makes sense. But anyway, then they said the camera wasn't really picking up how Aces and Eights got the advantage.
No, it really Rob didn't. Yeah, it kind of just got to there.
But that, I mean, what it, again, Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, and Austin Aries in the ring. And then all of a sudden, again, the more Aces and Eights guys, again, just keep coming out of the woodwork. These guys come and they have the fight, and all of a sudden they've got the advantage. And again, they seemed like the main guys. It's the guy, the leader guy. It's the guy with the blue sleeves shirt, Wes Briscoe, and there's another guy. Like, they wear the same thing every time. And so, like, I've seen them countless times. So they seem, as I said, like the main guys. And so then they grab a guardrail. The one part that was good in this brawl is that as they go to put the guardrail into the ring, like a fan grabs the guardrail not to do it, and the Aces and Eight guys smack the fan's arm away.
Yeah.
Thought, okay. That's pretty good. Yeah. At least, you know. But
old school
then
deal.
They exactly. And so then they smash Aries' arm, I guess, or his hand.
Yeah.
With a chair on the guardrail, and he's there selling or whatever, and then again, like I said, you blink and they're on their motorcycles.
Yeah. So basically, this was a show with booking that's a little bit questionable, but more than that, just kind of sloppy execution, and nothing in the ring where you thought, oh, that was great. Really, you think about it, wasn't a lot in the ring at all. Anyways, very little actual wrestling on this show.
No, that's right, and I mean, I mean, I question the timing.
Yeah. Should not be making, even if these guys aren't actually the core members of Aces and Eight, somehow just Aces and Eight then is diluted, you know, the legs cut out from them. Really, you want them strong and dangerous.
The fact is, too, is that these are mystery men.
Yeah.
So nobody knows who is a main guy, and no one knows who's a wimp when they come up, right? So no one knows who was a job guy. No one here. And as I said, Wes Briscoe, a main guy, I saw that was one of the guys that Hogan took out earlier. And it was a guy getting beat up, like I said, by Robbie T.
Yeah.
Outside. And then finally comes there. I mean, so this guy doesn't look strong. This guy with the wild hair, Ace is an eight guy. As I said, and it's hard to tell who's who in the zoo in that when you have 50 guys all of a sudden. Well, okay, there's six main guys that were kind of standing, or five main guys, whatever it was, at the end. But are those the lucky ones? Is that, again, when you're thinking, is this real, like you said? Yeah, are these just these guys that just got lucky and were the last survivors? Was this a plan? Was this, like, what is this, right? So it just, again, came too soon for this.
It's been a nice, slow build, and too much happened here. And not smart decisions on where they went.
Well, it's August the 23rd. I mean, they have no surrender pay-per-view in September, and then they're bound for glory. This is 2 months too soon. This should basically have happened after the reveal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Now, if you're gonna do, or if there is, like I said, if they're doing a slow reveal where one guy gets exposed every week leading up to Bound for Glory, it shouldn't start till after their next pay-per-view, or at least start at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
I don't know.
Not the best show.
No, definitely not not the best show. So, a little more TNA news really quickly. Hardcore Justice,
mm-hmm.
8,000 buys.
Yeah. Disappointing.
So, not yes and no. They did nothing to build this up.
No, that's true, I suppose.
They had one match, and then they talked about the three,
So much focus was on Aces and Eights that it took away from the pay-per-view.
It took away from the build, to the pay-per-view matches, right? I mean, we were able to kind of piece them together, but that was it. So the only other TNA note that I had was we talked about coming up Bound for Glory. Of course, we know Sting going into the TNA Hall of Fame to be inducted by Christian.
That's interesting. I didn't hear that.
That's the second appearance and the second part of the Ric Flair Hall of Fame deal. Is it Christian is the one that is to?
I suppose then it makes sense then why he was there.
What
during that night where Christian Sting was announced. why Christian showed up. So
I guess it kind of does, but that was just, again, it was a two appearance deal.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the ideal guy to induct Sting would be Ric Flair.
Ooh.
Yeah. Outside of him, the next best guy would probably be Hogan.
Yeah, yeah, or Luger.
No.
I mean, nobody knows. But they're friends. I mean, again, it's Sting and Luger, no. I mean, in terms of that, that's the way I know. But
Warrior.
If, no.
What?
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
The thing with, the only reason that I pick Luger, okay, is because, actually, you know what, I wouldn't, well, yeah, the thing I pick Luger is that what may happen, though, is Luger's got a better track record than Warrior, and a better track record than Flair, and a better track record than Hogan of killing women. So if he gets near Brooke Hogan,
you know what? You got a good point, and I'll agree with you. You know who actually should be the
Assistant General Manager of Raw, Lex Luger.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. You're right. It should be Luger. We should also, yeah, exactly. We should just in general. You're right. Anybody we don't like, female. Jimmy Snuka can work with him, and you know, we can get some stuff taken care of.
I know, yeah. Right? I know. We gotta look at these things.
Yeah.
From a practical perspective.
That's right.
That's everything I had. Do you have any?
And this is big news. We actually do need to talk about this. This is breaking news. We can't go off the air without it because this is huge. Apparently, the role of Claire Lynch was played by an actress named Julia Riley.
Really? That's who? Julia
Riley.
Riley.
Yeah.
Huh. Julia Riley, you'd say.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. I hope that doesn't get out.
All right. No, that's it. We're done. We got to go.
Okay. We got to go. So it's Addy, ADD. IE at wetalkwrestling.com is the email. At wetalkwrestling is Twitter, and we're on Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes. So is Julie Riley. And Mo, is it? It's Mo at wetalkpodcast.com.
Mo_wetalk. Guest blog coming out from fellow WeTalk podcast co-host of some shows with me, Brett.
Julia Riley.
Julia Riley, also going to be doing a best blog. Freaks TV Channel E has done his Raw Monday – actually, no longer Raw. He's done a reboot of what the Raw concept is, the Monday Night Super Show. This really cool graphics. What he's done really was spice up and make that product interesting again. He's done that blog, and I'm going to put it
– Starring.
I'm going to put a few of my notes in, and I can't wait for people to see it. It's really interesting work, so that's coming too. So you can check him out as well. Follow him on Twitter, Freaks TV Channel E. I hope I'm getting that right there because I always get his. I mean, seriously, why isn't he just Bob? That would be easier for me to remember.
I know, right? Follow Bob on Twitter, everyone. So that's I think that's going to do it for yet another week. So. We had a little bit of a delay there because of the mute button, but we are in fact
we haven't back left and this time.
That's true. We'll probably be back following Raw, perhaps just sometime next week.
Exactly.
So, that's gonna do it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.